So there's a mind of God, there's a mind of the Spirit, there's a mind of Christ, there's a mind of believers, and there's a mind of unbelievers. So that's what the Bible speaks. And then Paul says you can mind your own business also. So that's the other mind. So, so we're in this series and it is very exciting. This morning is not going to be too long because we want to pray and anoint men that are here coming out as we come out of our men's conference. It's just something that I felt led to do and pray. And may be honest, as the Lord leads, there's also men who came from far and so on. So I want to get a little bit into the topic of the mind of Christ, but we're still going to go on with this probably for 2 or 3 weeks. This is a deep and a vast subject that I want you to catch. Are you guys with me? A lot of people feed their spirits, but they don't feed their minds. And they cannot feed their minds because their minds are not renewed. Are you guys with me? I hope you're a bit more alive and not dead. Leave it, he says. We haven't, this is Encounter Church. This is not AFM or Doxa, as much as we love them. But they are the silent ones. Okay? Are you guys with me? You are not the loud ones, but you are the spiritual ones. So it means that your spirit reverberates a sound the moment that you can connect to revelation. So it is not emotionalism, it is also not soul hype, nothing like that. It is simply your spirit connecting to revelation. And once we're going to begin to drop revelation this morning, you're going to see what we're doing. What are we doing? We are washing your mind by the renewing of your mind, by the washing of the word. So when the word is preached correctly, when doctrine is preached correctly, it washes the mind. It renews the mind. The mind to be renewed simply means to be reset to its original state. Before it was polluted by wrong parents, by the belief system and the adornment of this age, conforming to this world and teachers and TV and everything like that. What does the renewing of mind does? It is the resetting to its original form and its original state. So you can upgrade your phone and it can become better. But sometimes there are errors in your phone that would require you to take it back to factory settings. And you cannot get it fixed unless you reset it back to factory settings. This is what it means that when we renew our mind. Are you guys with me? When you renew your mind, you don't need deliverance. I'm going to say it again. When you renew your mind, you no longer need deliverance. Deliverance is simply darkness. It is darkness is a lack of knowledge. It's ignorance. So demons come and demons settle a person because of ignorance and a lack of knowledge. Not even really open doors. But let me not touch on that golden calf too much now. Are you guys with me? Yeah, you open doors every day. Where's the demons? Okay. So, demons come because of a lack of knowledge, ignorance. That is darkness. So the unbeliever's mind is veiled with darkness. The believer's mind is full of light and is unveiled. That is why we're calling the evenings unveiled. Simply what it means is the evening of revelation. Okay, so we endeavor to there open up revelation to you. Unveiling that scales may fall off your eyes. Obviously, it's done in the mornings as well. But so when your mind is renewed, you no longer have demons. When your mind is renewed, you know the will of God. When your mind is renewed, you have no opposing thoughts. You have no thought that says you are too bad. You're too messed up. You have done this. No, those thoughts come because of nonsense that's put into a mind. But the moment your mind is renewed, it is your mind will become like the mind of a child. You're not even, you know, some of you are sitting here. There's 2 or 3 people here. So if you look at your neighbor, if they look like that, slap them now. Slap them and call them Sally. Wake up. Don't sit like this. What did you do last night? The series that we are on with the mind of Christ is, if people understand how to renew their minds, oh my God, they will live. The Bible says you will have a transformed, changed life. You will know the will of God. Others will look at you and they will know the will of God. That's what it means. You will prove the will. You will be the evidence of the will of God. When you ask the question, am I in the will of God or not? You don't have the mind of Christ yet. When you ask the question, what is the will of God for my life? You don't have the mind of Christ yet. How do you get the mind of Christ? It is, when you renew your mind, you don't automatically get the mind of Christ. You just put your mind in a place now to get the mind of Christ. So renewing your mind doesn't bring the mind of Christ. Renewing your mind simply takes you back to factory settings so that you can become transformed. Now, how do you get the mind of Christ? You need to become anointed. So you get the mind of the anointed. Are you guys with me? The mind of Christ. Say with you, the mind of Christ. And when I preach, especially this morning, I'm just something I wrote down just before I came in here that I just don't want to forget. But if God would give you anything more, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand the fullness and the completeness of God that is in you. Are you guys with me? I was trained up in a school of ministry where you have to hype up the spirits. I mean, you have to pray and pray so many hours till you feel an anointing. And then only are you allowed to like go and lay hands on people. And we think it is very spiritual, but it's nothing biblical. And what you are doing there is you are opposing God. You are opposing the move of the Spirit. Is prayer important? Obviously, prayer should be a lifestyle. Are you guys with me? Prayer should be a lifestyle. I shouldn't only be praying because I ministered to you. Do you think I prayed 1 minute this morning? Absolutely. There was probably one where I prayed and I just said, Lord, just use me. Use my tongue. And that is it. Otherwise, I gently woke up. And I looked forward to church. And I'll do more supernatural things than somebody that prays from 3 o'clock this morning till 8 o'clock. Try to make God do something. Because I have a lifestyle of prayer. I might have prayed many hours yesterday. I might have prayed many hours on Monday. But it's not about praying. It is about, are you walking with God? Are you walking in the Spirit constantly? Is the glory on your life ever increasing or ever fading? You see, on Moses' life, the glory was ever fading. So he had to cover it up with religion. Are you guys with me? And he had to pretend that it is not fading away. Many churches do it today. They pretend that the anointing is still there and it is not fading. Yet they themselves know, actually, we're not anointed as we used to be 20 years ago. But we're in the new covenant where the Bible says that the glory is ever increasing. So why are we operating out of an old covenant, out of an anointing that is fading away? We are in the latter glory where the glory is ever increasing. And when we don't catch that revelation, we live under the law and we try to work up the anointing. And that anointing you work up is self-righteousness and is in your self-righteousness. And that anointing will be fading away again. But when you understand the new covenant, that you are in a glory, that your face is unveiled, that you are beholding the glory of the Lord. And as you are beholding the glory, you are changed into that same image, transformed into that same image, going from glory to glory, ever increasing glory. I don't know if you are with me. Meaning that the glory is not fading, that it becomes stronger. And it becomes stronger. That the moment that you become a Christian, the anointing becomes stronger, it doesn't become weaker. But for some reason, we have seen churches that become weaker and not stronger. And they become white elephants. Are you guys with me? Your relationship with God must be growing, ever increasing. So say, I'm full of God. If God has to give you anything more today, you would end up threatening and fighting the Trinity himself and want to take his throne. Put on the screen for me Philippians chapter number 2 verse 5. Let's see something. Are you guys with me? You're here, you want good teaching, you want revelatory teaching. It's revelation that will change you. We lay hands, we'll do this. We're going to lay hands today and everything, but get the word and be hungry for the word. Let this mind be in you. I'll explain this a bit later. Which was also, say with me also. Wording and the order of wording is very good because that constitutes revelation. So just the fact that there's also in there changes the whole meaning of this scripture. It means that this was not the mind of Jesus. This was a mind that Jesus adopted. He adopted the mind of the anointed. Moses adopted the mind of the anointed. Samuel adopted the mind of the anointed. David adopted the mind of the anointed. Paul adopted, and Paul said, listen, you adopt the mind of the anointed. Mind of Christ. Let's head to the next verse. Why must this mind be in you? What is the mind of Christ? What will the mind of Christ make you realize? Can I go deeper? What will the mind of God make you realize? Who was also in Christ. Let this mind be in you, was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. For the five who got, may it sink in a little bit. Let me read it again. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, are you made in the image and the likeness of God? Okay. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it evil, robbery, to be equal with God. And then he says, I want to conform you to the image of the Son, so that he is the firstborn of many. I want to conform you to the image of Christ, so that he is the firstborn of many. Not that he is the only Christ. Oh, no. That he is the first Christ. That's why you are a Christian. Christ, Ians. Have your seats. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is what will make you operate in the fullness of God. And not have a mindset of, I'm so guilty, I messed up so much, God can't use me, I lost my job here, I lost my job there, I'm so bad, and it must be, let me pray more, let me try to pray more. And we have created an idol for God. That is not God. And we are worshiping an idol. If Jesus is saying, I want this mind, this attitude, this way of thinking to be in you, that was in him also. And he says, so that, and what is this way of thinking? Not to think that it is evil that you think of yourself equal to God. I'm going to bash religious cows and bash religious golden cows. Am I saying you are God? No. Am I saying you are Yahweh? No. Am I saying you are the Christ? No. Am I saying you are a Christ? Let's leave that. You answered that. I didn't say anything. Am I saying that you are a son of God? Yes. Am I saying that you are like God? Yes. Even Jesus said it. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of Gods. Small g. Because he came down. He is the only God who became man so that he can make a man like God. You will judge angels. You will judge demons. You will rule and reign with him. You are already ruling and reigning with him. But if you understand this identity, where Paul says now, but wait, there's this mystery that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. That it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ that dwells inside of me. Meaning I'm dead. It's no longer I. It is Christ. If I'm walking, it is Christ. If I'm talking, it is Christ. If I'm laying hands, it is Christ. If I'm prophesying, it is Christ. If I'm praying for healing, it is Christ. If I go and do business, it is Christ. And nothing is impossible for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you guys with me? Have your seats, have your seats. So you have so much of God that if he has to add anything more, you would begin to threaten him, because then you'd be more than him. So listen to what I'm not saying. If God has to add anything more, you would be more than him. And you would threaten him. That's how much of God you have. There's never been a day we have been less or more anointed than today. Are you guys with me? You are complete. Don't try to be anointed. You are anointed. Don't try to be spiritual. You are spiritual. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Don't try to be anointed. You are anointed. Don't try to be spiritual. You are spiritual. Say, I am complete. We have this fallacy that we think we need more of God. We need more of God. And it is noble. It's good. It is preached as well. But it's not truth. It's not truth. And it is truth that sets someone free. Not well preaching, not great sayings. Are you guys with me? We were hunting this week, and we took our daughters hunting, and I was reading through books on my iPad. And the one book, you know, we're just reading the titles, it was me and my daughter, and the one book said, reading through titles and titles, she says she likes that one, she doesn't like that. Reading through titles and what the book is about, and the one book says this, it says, do you want more of God? ? This book will help you out and blah, 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 blah. But it says, do you want more of God? ? And my daughter read it, she says, do you want more of God? And she's like, no, I have enough of him. And I realized she just spoke more truth than many preachers. Because the moment your salvation came, you are complete. The moment he filled you, he didn't fill you a little. He filled you to the fullness. Now there's times of waiting, there's times of tarrying. Are you guys with me? But he filled you to the fullness. You are complete. And when you understand this, you'll be able to know wherever you go, Christ goes. Wherever you walk, God walks. Now they're going to come and say, oh, little God's doctrine, little God's doctrine. Whatever you want to call it, you give it a name, whatever you want to call it. We'll call it the truth. We are not saying we are God. But I'm definitely saying we are little gods. Because if my daughter is born of me, she's a little me. If you are born of God, born by the incorruptible seed of heaven, Are you guys with me? Spirit of his spirit, conformed to the image of the Son. That is the firstborn of many, meaning he's your brother, but he's the first one, you're the one after him. And he has brought you back to your heavenly Father. So you are the brother of Jesus with your heavenly Father. Even though Jesus is God and I understand the whole Trinity, but I'm getting a picture through to you. Are you guys with me? Because the whole earth is waiting, eagerly expecting, crying out, moaning and groaning for the revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God. For people to come into their full sonship of God. To understand that they are the brother of Christ, conformed to the image of Christ, that they have the fullness of God in them. Wherever they go, listen to me, a slave needs keys to open a door. A son owns the house. Are you guys with me? So have your seats, have your seats. So I'm just giving you some revelation. When you were born, you were, say with me, complete. You had 10 fingers, 10 toes. Everything counted right. 2 ears, 2 eyes. And then a parent is happy and they're saying, the child is complete. Every organ is there. Everything is there. Yet in the spiritual, we think we are a hand. And we somehow need to grow from being a hand to becoming a mature person. That's going to take us 50 years. You are complete. You just need to mature. And that maturing can take 1 year or 20 years. Depending on the activity of the person and the revelation the person receives. So you are complete. Say, I am complete. When you are born again from heaven, you are a complete man. In spiritual, in the anointing, you are complete. Nothing lacking, nothing missing. You are complete. Are you guys with me? Let me just go a little bit deeper. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So, we just read now, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So there's the mind of Christ, which we get another scripture, which we'll get to just now, which is the mind of the anointed. The mind of the anointed. This was the mind that Moses had. This was the mind that many believers had and that you and I should have. It is the mind of Christ. When you have this mind, everything changes. When you have this mind, you no longer listen to the opinions of man. You think like God thinks. When God thinks through you, it feels like it is you thinking. A lot of people wait to be led by the Holy Spirit and they want to follow the Spirit while the Spirit is waiting for them that he can follow them. Let me explain again. A lot of people saying, I want to wait for the Spirit. I'm waiting for the Spirit. Even ministers, I'm waiting for the Spirit to see who the Spirit is talking to me about. You're going to wait till... And I see them, they're standing there and nothing is coming to them. Because they don't understand the operations and the administrations of God. The Spirit is waiting on you. So that the moment you step out, it can follow you. You are in partnership with God. So if I say I want to prophesy over somebody, I'm not waiting for the Holy Spirit to show me something about somebody. Yes, it can happen, but that is the weakest, rarest thing. I begin to speak and the Spirit follows me and begins to intervene into their lives and then begins to give me words. Are you guys with me? But the Spirit, but where's the scripture? The Spirit of the prophets or subject to the prophet. Let me change the wording. The spirit of prophecy submits to the prophet. So the Holy Spirit submits to the prophet to wait until he speaks so that he can move. Yet we have turned this thing around, and the prophet is waiting for the Holy Spirit. And that's why there are so very little prophecy, so very little people that can hear from God. Are you guys with me? Say, I am spiritual. I don't have to try to be spiritual. You see, you will try to follow the Spirit when you think you have to try to be spiritual. But when you know you are spiritual, you open up your mouth. When you know you are anointed, you open up your mouth. Now you better be anointed. You better be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and then have a relationship with Him. Are you guys with me? Confession is not going to get you there. Confession to say, I am anointed, it's not going to get you there. It's going to be a good, positive confession, but you need to actually put in the goods, put in the work. Meaning not works for it, but you have a relationship with God. The anointing smears off. There's a place where your spirit is aligned. You understand the word of truth. Your mind is renewed. Now you can walk in the anointing that He has for you. And you don't work for it. You know you have the fullness thereof. That Jesus gave the Spirit without measure. I know there's a big controversy on that. I choose to believe, according to the scriptures that I've studied, that He gives it without measure. Without measure. How can God be limited in you? When Jesus Himself said, you shall do greater works than I did. Is this preaching okay? Because it looks boring. Okay. Maybe people know all this stuff. I don't know. They heard it from other churches. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 16. I'm giving you, if you had an encounter, you get revelation. If you're online and you haven't visited us, you need to visit us. If you're close by and you're online, you need a spanking and get into church. There's nothing else to it. You're disobedient, rebellious, veiled, and you need to get to church. If you're far away, it's understandable. If you're anywhere from 2 hours, you need to get to church. For who has known? Because you see, revelation can come online, I understand that, but it is opened up in an environment. So people will feel it in their spirits here. For who has known the mind of the Lord, the mind of Christ, eh? Or we can even really change it because it's really open for interpretation. We can say, who has known the mind of God? Because the Lord sits at the right hand of my Lord. Okay, so I can say, who has known the mind of God? That He may instruct God. Are you guys with me? Don't daze off. Who has known the mind of God? That He may instruct God what to do. That He may tell God what to do. So there is something you can have. And when you have it, you can tell God what to do. And this isn't the only scripture. This is one of them. I know this sounds like heresy to some that doesn't know us. If you have not grown with us and you have not understand the spirit that we're speaking, the DNA we're speaking, you're going to think this is heresy. But it's fun. We understand that you don't understand yet. And God will reveal it to you maybe, perhaps, one day, perhaps. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct God? Then Paul answers, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of the anointed. So he's saying something. He says the mind of the anointed is allowed to do something when it comes into relationship with God. Are you guys with me? Christ, say with me, Christ. We need to kind of like get God out of our head and really put it in with Christ at this moment as I'm preaching. Because a lot of people have this image in their head. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. That's what they think. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. It's not like that. That's not how the Trinity works. And the moment we think like that, we make the one inferior to the other. And our limited of belief, we won't understand, we won't be able to receive from Him. The Bible says everything exists in Christ. All things exist in Christ. Even God exists in Christ. God doesn't exist. And I speak God, and I'm speaking God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God. He doesn't exist. He is pre-existence. He is beyond existence. If He existed, He had to be created. If He was created, there's something that created Him, and His worship was given, had to be given to something that created Him. So God doesn't exist. He is the uncreated creating one. He is the unexisted one that creates. He's the unexisted one in whom all things exist. He's pre-existence. He's beyond existence. We have to understand the concept of God to then understand Christ, to then understand ourselves. Okay. So, what is light? God is light. Are you guys with me? God is light. The Bible says God is light. If you take a flashlight right now and you shine it into space, you cannot see any light. Because light requires matter to be seen. Are you guys with me? No one can see light unless that light shines on matter. So you shine light into space, you won't be able to see it. So God is light and no one can see God. Because God requires matter. So God had to slow down into what we call the body of Jesus Christ. Come into this world, come into matter, so that the light, God, can be seen by men. So that when Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So God had to slow down because He was too fast. And He had to come into matter so that man can see Him. So that He can pick man up and make man go faster. And He can conform them to the image of His Son, the Christ. And they can become Christ's, the anointed ones. And so as they become the anointed ones and the sons of God, the Bible says that even God exists in Christ, even nothing, everything is in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Christ was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in the beginning was Christ. And Christ was with God and was God. In the beginning was Christ. So God is not Alpha Omega. He's only your Alpha Omega. If He's Alpha Omega, He had a beginning and an end. He has no beginning and end. He is the Christ. But now He chose to do something and bring a mystery and say there's a mystery, this mystery in you, Paul says. Christ, the hope of glory, that is in you. So if God could move by the speed of light, and Christ was His Word, which was sound, which was before light, and Christ is living in you, there's a life He is taking you to. There's a life He is lifting you to. There's possibilities and impossibilities He's taking you to. That is why all things are possible with Christ. Everything exists in Him. If everything exists in Him and He's in you, I'm going to say it again. If everything exists in Him and He is in you, what now? Now we struggle to keep a job. Now we struggle to pay our rent. How stupid does it sound? Have you seats? Are you guys with me? I know it goes over many's heads. It's okay. If you stay longer, you will understand what we're saying. I'm preaching revelation that will offend the religious heart. It will offend the religious mind to expose the heart. It will offend. But that one that is not religious, it will set you free. Because people live in a gospel where they are so afraid of God. God's anger stopped. Mercy triumphs judgment. Are you guys with me? Wrong doctrine has been preached to people. How long have I preached? You cannot lose your salvation. And people want to hear that they can lose their salvation. People want to go to hell. They love hell. How can you lose something that you never got anyway in the first place? How is God so weak that He gives you a salvation and you can lose it? No, you can sin and live a miserable life in this. Now you need to be saved. Are you guys with me? But you cannot lose your salvation by accident. The religious institutions have preached it to you and has put fear upon you so that you have to come back the next Sunday because you feel guilty. I'm serious. You don't have to come back here because you feel guilty. You come back here so that you're more hungry because of revelation and you want to grow. There is no hell for believers. This is stuff I knew like from the day I got saved. I don't know what people think. Do we have people walking out? Just the usher. Okay. I don't know what people think. People have these visions. Oh, I saw this one in hell. They write books. I saw this one. What garbage. And yet, we read that and we don't read the Bible. Am I saying there's no hell? No, there is a hell made for the devil and for unbelievers. Are you guys with me? So you get saved, you believed. But hell is not for believers. Hell is not your portion. If you are a true believer, if you are saved, filled with the Spirit, conformed to the image of the Son, His nature is in you, hell will never be your portion. And that should bring the greatest freedom, the greatest liberty, that you are not going to be judged. You are going to be rewarded. I'm going to say it again. You are not going to be judged. You are going to be rewarded. That is it. So now you live a life to be rewarded. You see, the moment you live a life when you know you're going to be judged, it paralyzes you. Have your seats. It paralyzes you. You do nothing for Jesus. You're so scared, dear God, subconsciously. I said this yesterday, I done. Now imagine, listen, sin has been dealt with. All of a sudden you find yourself, you're no longer sinning even anymore. Because psychology will tell you, the more you're not allowed to do something, you will do it. That's why the law breeds sin. That's why the law strengthens sin. That's why the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. That's why grace breaks the power of sin and empowers you to not sin. That's why when you have the mind of Christ, you will not sin. But Leon, where do you get this? Go through to Genesis chapter number 20, verse 1. If you have the... Now, I know the Bible says he who says he's without sin, he is a liar. Please listen to me in context. Okay? I'm speaking of the sin that you feel guilty of. I'm speaking of the sin that is condemning and guilting in your brain. The sin that affects you. Yes, we are always in sin, but I'm speaking about sin that affects you. Yes, no, everyone sins. The only thing is my sin has been dealt with. And Abraham journeyed from the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Swer and stayed in Gerar. Next verse, follow me. Now Abraham said, Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man. Because the woman you have taken, she is a man's wife. She is the wife of a prophet, another translation will say. But imagine that God is saying, he's not saying you're going to die. You are already dead. Meaning, in the spirit realm, you've already been declared dead. It's just waiting to manifest. It's done. You are dead. That's why God said to Adam and Eve, you shall surely die if you eat of this fruit. And we see them still living 900 years. Death was there. It just had to come in. So he says, you are already a dead man because you touched the wife of a prophet. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands have I done this. He says, listen, God, in the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I took this woman to rape her. Listen to God's answer. And God said to him in a dream, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart to rape her. So integrity is not what we think integrity is. Integrity is not objective. Okay. For I also withheld you from sinning. Hold on. I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. When you have the mind of Christ, God will stop you from sinning. Why? Because sin is breeded from a thought. Sin comes from a thought. Where's that scripture? Give me the scripture. Are you guys with me? Let me just get a scripture to put it to bed. Adam and Eve sinned because they didn't have the mind of Christ. And the devil brought another mind to them. The devil brought another knowledge, another mind to them, another way of thinking, another mind to them. And because they changed, the devil knew, if they have the mind of Christ, they're not going to sin. But I need them to sin. I need them to fall. So I need to change their mind. I need to bring another knowledge in. The moment I bring another mind in, they are fallen. Where is that? James 1, 14 to 15. James 1, verse 14. Are you guys with me? But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Say with me, when thought has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So what do? You renew your mind. The moment you renew your mind by the washing of the Word of God, now you build up and you receive the mind of the anointed, the mind of Christ. Once you have the mind of Christ, guess what? You're not even thinking of sinning. Are you guys with me? So when preachers preach against, how many times, if you're a prophet, you would preach against sin, you would tell them to repent. No, the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. There's one message that Christ was given. It is to preach the kingdom of God. There's one message that we have been given, to preach the kingdom, to people to repent. But the word repent means to renew and to change your mind. And then to preach the kingdom and enter the kingdom and believe in the kingdom. Are you guys with me? So when your mind is renewed, you have the mind of Christ. You no longer have thoughts of sin. Have your seats. Let me tell you something before I pray for the men. From the day my mind was renewed, I'd say I was saved at 17, and then it took me maybe like 4 years, 5 years for my mind to be renewed because I was messed around for 2 years. Then when I got serious with God, I got my Bible on my floor and I pushed through the nights and I read my word through the nights for about 2 years, prayed, fasted. But I renewed my mind. I took everything out that was not supposed to be there. Every thought that I have, I would contradict it with scripture. I renewed my mind. And when that was done, transformation took place on me. Then I was ready for ministry. Because change took place. I went from one degree, from one glory to another glory. I upgraded my life. It was not God doing it, it was me doing it. I upgraded my life. From that day, it was maybe, let's say 23. from that day, I never struggled with a bad thought. When I say bad thought, contrary, that's saying you're bad. You're not going to make it. Never. And I never battled with the guilt of sin. Never. Never have I had a thought that I sin. I know this is something new now. People are not liking it. People like sins. People like hell. People like to know that they are bad. Do you want to know that you are bad, or do you want to know that you are good? Somebody said bad, somebody said good. Huh? Good. A parent that keeps telling the kids they're bad, those kids have no self-worth when they grow up. A parent who tells their kids that they are good, they are good, they are proud of them, they can do this, they can do that. That kid grows up with such confidence, yet the church has it around. Religion came in because the devil knows if he preaches a wrong message, he can mess you up that you'll never move in power. He'll mess you up that you'll never have anything. But if you have a revelation that you are complete, you will have the fullness of God in you. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, complete. You have Christ inside of you, the hope of glory. It's a mystery. It's no longer you who live, but it's Christ who lives inside of you. You'll see heaven around you every day. You'll see heaven in you every day. Are you guys with me? You'll have the glory around you every day. You don't have to work up or stress to pray for somebody because you know where you are, God is. You pray for somebody, whether you feel, the only times you feel anointed is because you feel emotionally good. When you feel the goosebumps, you feel emotionally good. Don't limit the Spirit by your emotions. He is always there. The Bible says He will never leave you, never forsake you. He has sealed you unto salvation, unto redemption, which means that your salvation is secure. If you're saved, it is secure. Stop wondering about guilt, stop worrying about sin and guilt, and start thinking how to advance the kingdom of God. How to go about His works. Do you know how good you will preach? Do you know how good you will lay hands? Do you know how good you will prophesy? When there's no sin that holds you back because your mind has been renewed, it doesn't mean you're not sinning. It means you have another mind now. The mind of the anointed. The mind of Christ. So His thoughts becomes your thoughts. Have your seats. Have your seats. Adopt this. Get this. Say, I adopt the mind of Christ. But this does not happen without the Word. I must be a student of this Word. And I have told you how to get into spiritual realities. And it's all by the washing of this Word. And it being preached with revelation. Are you guys with me? What I'm preaching to you now, I got this morning, or while I'm standing here. And when people are free like this, you can just move and pray for them. They know how to receive healing because now they know it is God's will. But wait, if I'm the Son of God, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, spirit of His spirit, conformed to the image of the Son, I'm Jesus' brother. I'm the Son of God. The whole earth is waiting for my manifestation. Sickness must leave my body. Now you know how to receive it. Now you know how to release it. Are you guys with me? Now you know you can have as much money as you want, and it's not called prosperity gospel. It's only those who measure themselves against themselves and against one another that gets into all this nonsense of prosperity and this and that. God, like I said yesterday to the men, God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to have a sports car or sports cars. He wants you to do things that you enjoy. Why have we demonized things that God never demonized? Are you guys with me? I was thinking this week, I'm like, man, I want to buy four-wheelers because we really like it as family. And I'm like, I'm going to buy four-wheelers. And then afterwards I thought, You know, I'm probably the 1% of preachers that are free like this. I'm telling you, there's preachers that are bound. They can't buy a car. They have to buy the same car so their congregation doesn't see they've changed. I'm telling you now, mega church pastors, couple of them, buy the same car so the church doesn't see. Now, yes, we shouldn't bring a reproach to the... No, it's because we preach the wrong doctrine to the church. Some businessman can have a Porsche or a Lamborghini, but forbid, the man of God is not allowed to. Even if it's his... We understand stealing tithes. I understand there are churches that when the money comes here, they take it like this and they take it home. We don't agree with that. So are you guys with me? This goes into an account. There's salaries that are paid. And that is it. And everything above that, we trust God for. So you know, the prophetic is so real. Yesterday, I phoned a prophet. I have like two or three prophets that prophesize to me that I'll phone. And you know, and I was supposed to give a seat to this prophet for long, and I didn't. And I'm like, listen, I need a word, but I need to give them a seat. So I phoned them. I said, listen, I'm coming with this amount here. You know, I didn't even say I need a word. I just said, here's the seat. And we don't play around with 100 or 500 rand, okay, or 5,000 or something like that. But and I did this, and immediately the word of God began to flow out of his mouth. And he began to prophesy, and he said to me everything I was going through the last 3 days. Mentioned names of what people have said, things that they've said, why God is doing it, what God is doing it. And I was just so overfilled with joy because God has spoken, but I understood a principle. I would have never gotten that word if I didn't understand taking a gift to a man of God that activates the voice of God. If I asked him to pray and prophesy over me, he might have tried his best, but it wouldn't have. So there are laws in the Spirit. People think prophets just want money. No, it is the law of the Spirit. That is it. The gospel is free, and there's nonsense that ministers and everybody's talking about me saying that I charge for prophecy. Where on the planet do I charge for prophecy? Never have I charged for prophecy. Never have I even demanded a seat. I wish to teach people so that people can understand they can tap into it, but we've never demanded it. Because I understand the value of a prophet, the value of a word of God when it comes from heaven directly. And they say that I charge for prophecy, that it broke my heart when I heard it, that I'm just after people's money, that I steal money. I think that was insinuated. I'm not exactly sure. You know, that I manipulate people for money. Have I ever manipulated you here for money? Maybe Pastor Chris or them up here, but not me. Okay. No, so yet these ones will manipulate you for money, like you don't even want to believe. So that's what they think of encounter. But then the Lord spoke to me through this prophet and through God himself, even before this, it was just confirmation, to say, Leon, I'm closing doors. I'm not allowing you to be in relationship with certain people to protect the stream that I'm doing here. Because if you get into relationship with certain people, it's going to pollute the stream but with encounter. And then the prophet said something and mentioned the name of what God mentioned to me the last 6 months of what he's going to do. And this is not for me to speak publicly or stuff like that. But don't fear or don't worry if it looks like a church is not accepted. Not one big church has been accepted when they were young. Now you look at them, they're 30 years old. They have big buildings. They're 30 years old. We are 6 years old. And you don't even know what we're going to be doing in the next year. Okay? And we have 3 churches. And the other church, the property is already there standing. We own all the broadcast stuff. We are growing. We got an online community. We got an online church. We have done more than 95% of other churches. Not to brag or anything like that, but we've done a lot. Amidst the persecution, amidst every attacks where it breaks your heart and you want to cry because you think you like this person that you just heard, spoke all this nonsense and all this lies about you. Just now, and I'm thinking, I like them. They have my number. Can they not call me? But unfortunately, that spirit has entered into the body. It's called a cockatrice spirit that destroys men of God by gossip and slander. and so many has been taken out. Are you guys with me? That is why you need to know your identity as a son of God, your identity as being in Christ. You're the fullness of God. Are you guys with me? So Genesis, God says to Abimelech, I have kept you from sinning. I have kept you from sinning. So the mind, Abimelech had the mind of Christ where Abraham didn't even have it at that moment. Abimelech knew, I can't be doing anything against this. He was even going to Abraham and says, why have you lied to me? He got the thoughts of God where Abraham didn't get the thoughts of God.